Boston Dynamics at Griffith University, which is part of the BF collaboration. And so I will first explain the key ideas which underlie this work. So we have this theory, the Brillouin pilot wave theory, in which particles have positions and follow deterministic trajectories. And this theory will reproduce the prediction of standard quantum mechanics if you start from an ensemble in which the positions are distributed according to psi squared. And this is referred to as a quantum equilibrium distribution. But now you could also consider ensembles in which your positions are not distributed according to psi squared. This would be ensemble in non-equilibrium. And these were mainly studied by Anthony Valentini. And in particular, he has shown, together with Hans Westmann, that it's very natural to expect that these ensembles in non-equilibrium would relax to the quantum equilibrium distribution psi squared on a cause grain level. And it's also only if these ensembles, if such ensemble in non-equilibrium exists or has existed in the past, that the pilot wave theory can be tested against standard quantum mechanics. So on the other end, you have an infinite number of models, like the de Broglie-Bohm pilot wave theory, in which particles follow trajectories. And they mainly differ from the original one by the way in which the wave function guides the particle. And so what we wanted to study in this work was this, the influence of this new guidance equation on the process of relaxation to quantum equilibrium. So this is the plan of my talk. I will first give a brief overview of the key features of the de Broglie-Bohm pilot wave theory. Then I will discuss a bit quantum non-equilibrium and relaxation to quantum equilibrium. Then I will present the models that were studied by Diotto and Girardi. And then I will show the simulation that we've done. So in the non-relativistic pilot wave theory, if you consider only one particle, it's assumed that this particle is completely described by a wave function, psi, but also by its position, xt. And now as far as the equation of motions are concerned, psi would always evolve according to the Schrödinger equation, and xt would evolve according to the following guidance equation. So there is a velocity field on your configuration space R3, which is defined as J divided by psi squared, where J is the current which is associated to psi squared to this continuity equation. And now if you want to obtain the velocity of your particle at time t, you just plug in the actual position of your particle in the velocity field, and you get the velocity of your particle at time t. And this choice of dynamics is an important property, and it's the following. If you start from an ensemble in which your positions are distributed according to psi squared for some initial time, t0, they would remain distributed according to psi squared for any later time t. And this is simply a consequence of the fact that you take the velocity field to be given by J divided by psi squared, where psi squared and J are part of the continuity equation. And so this particular distribution is referred to as the quantum equilibrium distribution. But now you could also ask the question, what about systems in which the distribution is not given, the distribution of positions is not given by psi squared at some initial time t, zero? So will they relax to quantum equilibrium if you let them evolve for some time tau? And in order to find out if a non-equilibrium density can evolve to quantum equilibrium, you can use a property of the de Broglie-Bohm trajectory, which is that the ratio between the non-equilibrium density and psi squared has to be conserved along any point of your Bohmian trajectory. Now, let's say you want to know the non-equilibrium density at time t at for some point x, and you assume that you know your non-equilibrium density at some initial time t0, and you also assume that you know psi for any time t. You just take this x as the final position of your particle. Then you solve the equation of motion in order to find out from which position does your particle come from at the initial time t0. And then you can simply use this relation in order to compute the non-equilibrium density at the final time t. But then you see that if the non-equilibrium density is different from psi squared at the initial time t0, then automatically the non-equilibrium density at time t will be different from psi squared at time t. So you might be worried that relaxation to quantum equilibrium will never take place simply because of this relation. So what you have to do is to consider coarse-grained quantities instead. For instance, if you study a particle in a box, you could divide your box in smaller boxes and associate to each of these boxes a particular value of the coarse-grained density. And so Anthony Valentini has built a theory on that in order to show that on this coarse-grained level, you could expect that rho would relax to psi squared. And he also gave an estimate for the time that it would take. So this would be the relaxation time. And you see that, for instance, if you have a free particle, so an eigenstate of the energy, so relaxation would take an infinite time. And so Anthony has also the hypothesis that the universe was in the initial state of the universe was one in which you have quantum non-equilibrium. And he was also able to give many tests in order to verify the pilot wave theory against standard quantum mechanics. So now I will explain the relaxation simulation that have been done by Anthony and Hans. So they have considered a particle in a two-dimensional box of length pi multiplied by, so the length of the side of the box is simply pi. And for the wave function, they took a superposition of the first 16 modes of lowest energy. They took arbitrary phases, and they took equal weight for each branch of the superposition. So this is how psi squared looked like at the initial time t0. And this is how the non-equilibrium density looks like. And now the results of these simulations are the following. So the first row, it's time t equals 0. The second row, it's time t equal to 2 pi. And the last row, it's time t equal to 4 pi. The first column, that's the non-equilibrium density. And the second column, that's psi squared. And you can see that at time t equals 4 pi, the non-equilibrium density almost look alike psi squared on a coarse-grained level. So I'll just say a few words about the method that they have used. So they have divided this box in smaller coarse-grained cells. So these would be the blue one. So, and each of these coarse-grained cells would be associated to one value of the coarse-grained density. And for each of the coarse-grained cells, they took a sample of points which are uniformly distributed. For each of these points, they compute the non-equilibrium density using this property of the Debreuil-Bohm trajectory. Then they average over all these points, and they get the value of the coarse grain density associated to this coarse graining cell, for instance. And now I will show why the chaotic behavior of the Bohmian trajectory is important if you want to have relaxation on the coarse grain level. So if you would do this procedure for, let's say, for this box, and if all of the trajectories that you compute end up, stay very close together and end up in a small region, it would, roughly speaking, behave as a single trajectory. And you know that at the level of trajectory, relaxation doesn't take place. On the other hand, if all the trajectory, if the particles go far apart, as in this case, this would be a good scenario for relaxation. And this would be the case if the dynamics are chaotic. And many people have studied the role of chaos in Bohmian mechanics. And it was recognized that the nodes of the wave function are important if you want to have a chaotic behavior. And usually what's happening around these nodes is that the particles tend to circle. So nodes are also associated to vorticity. And so here's a list of the people who have worked on chaos in Bohmian mechanics, but it's not exhaustive. So that's the part concerning quantum non-equilibrium and relaxation to quantum equilibrium. So now I would like to go back to this equivariance property of the Breuil-Bohm theory. So you remember, if you start from this distribution, distribution of particle position, which is given by psi squared for the initial time t0, it will remain distributed according to psi squared for any later time t. And this was a consequence of the fact that the velocity field is given by j divided by psi squared, where j and psi squared are part of this continuity equation. But now, if you would add such a curl term to the current j, this wouldn't change anything as far as the divergence is concerned, because this term has divergence zero. So if you would define the velocity field of your the velocity field to be equal to the original j plus some curl term divided by psi squared, this wouldn't change anything as far as reproducing the prediction of standard quantum mechanics is concerned. And in fact, these models have been studied in detail by D'Otto and Girardi, and they have shown that even if you impose additional constraints, you still end up with an infinite number of models that can reproduce the prediction of standard quantum mechanics, just as the usual Debreuil-Bohm theory. And now if you would consider, for instance, the Pauli equation, and if you would do the Breuil-Bohm interpretation for this equation, and if you keep in mind that the current that you use in the Pauli equation comes in fact from the non-relativistic limit of the Dirac equation, then you would get such a term of divergence zero in addition to the usual one. And so many people have come with argument in order to justify the uniqueness of the guidance equation. So now you have this infinite number of models, and we would like to study relaxation to quantum equilibrium in these models. So what we did was to consider a particle in a two-dimensional box. And instead of taking a superposition of 16 modes, we took only 4 modes, and we took the same phases that Anthony Valentini and Hans Sussman used in their simulation. So this is how psi square looked like for the initial time t equals zero. And for this psi squared, there is only one node, which will move as the wave function evolves. And we have also considered a different initial non-equilibrium distribution. So the first one that's the same as the one that was used in the simulation by Hans and Anthony, but we have also considered distribution which were much more peaked and centered on different quadrants. And finally, we have also considered different guidance equations. And since we work in two dimensions, any divergence less current can be written as epsilon KL multiplied by the gradient of some function, which depends on the wave function, divided by psi squared, multiplied by some amplitude mu. And these are the results of the simulation. So on the first row, you have psi squared for time t equals 0, t equals 4 pi, t equals 8 pi, because the wave function is periodic. On the second row, you have the evolution of the non-equilibrium density. And the second row, that's without any curl terms. So that's the usual de Broglie theory. And if you let this non-equilibrium density evolve, you can see that at time t equals 8 pi, it starts to look like psi square, but its relaxation doesn't, it's not as efficient as the, in the previous simulation. On the other hand, now if you have a curl term, and if you do the same kind of simulation, and if you start from the same initial non-equilibrium density, then you end up with a distribution which at time t equals 8 pi looks more like psi squared. And it's even more clear if you increase the amplitude of your curl term. So here you see that relaxation is very efficient with this curl term. So these are the results of the simulation for other non-equilibrium density. So the, if the non-equilibrium density has support in the first quadrant, and if there is no curl term, this is what you would get for the evolution of the non-equilibrium density. So you see it's far from being equivalent to psi squared. On the other hand, if you have a curl term, there you see that the non-equilibrium density has relaxed to the to psi squared on a coarse grain level. And it's, there it's for a different initial quadrant, but still you can see that relaxation is much more efficient with this curl term. Then we have done simulations for other curl terms. So the second row, it's still the evolution of the non-equilibrium density if you don't have any curl term. Here, it's another possible curl term, but for which relaxation doesn't seem to take place as efficiently as for the previous one. And a third possibility for this curl term, and you can see that for this case, relaxation is very, very efficient. So now I would like to plot a few trajectories in order to see why this curl term is important in order to speed up the relaxation to quantum equilibrium. So the first trajectory which is plotted, you start from a point in which psi squared is big and there is no curl term. And you can see that the trajectory is very smooth. Now on the other end, if you start from a point which is close to a node, then the trajectory gets a bit wilder. And if it's very close to the node, it starts to circulate a lot. And now I'll show an animation in order to illustrate the so the behavior of the node. So the black star that you see in the movie, that's the position of the node. And here you have four particles which are close to the node at time t equal 4 pi. And you let the film evolve backwards until time t equals 0. Well, you have seen that the particle has circulated f. Maybe I should replay it. So they circulate around the node. And at some point, the trajectory starts in, you have in this illustration of the chaotic behavior, which is given, which is provided by the node. So these three end up in a totally different place, while the red one keeps to circulate around the node. So here's another simulation. You start from four particles, which are at the center of your box, and the node is a bit below. So you can see that they stay very close together, so there is no influence of the node. So that's a bad scenario for relaxation. So they still stay very close. And it's only when they will hit the node that the trajectory will start to diverge. As you can see now. So all these plots and animation, it was without any curl term. Now I will show plots and animation for which there is a curl term. So you start from a point where psi square is big, and you can see that if there is a curl term, you have much more vorticity. And now if you would start from a point which is very close to a node at the initial time t, t equal 4 pi, and go backwards, you see that the particle will travel much longer distances than if there were no curl term. So here are the animation with the curl term. So you can see that the particle move much more faster. Well, here they start to, you already have chaos at this point, right? They end up in all over the place. And here, last animation. So there are two particles which are very close together, and one which starts close to the node. So you can see that these two start to circulate a bit, but they stay very close together. So it seems like the curl term is not enough in order to generate chaos, which is necessary for relaxation. And now if I remember correctly, that these two particles will go close to the node and will get separated. So as a conclusion to the talk, you can see that relaxation to quantum equilibrium is clearly you have a speed up in relaxation when you have the curl term. But the curl term itself is not enough in order to generate the chaotic behavior. Vorticity is not enough. The nodes remain important in order to generate the chaotic behavior, which is necessary for relaxation to take place. And another remark is that if you want to make any predictions in the field of relaxation to quantum equilibrium, the role of the B-able that you will also be crucial. For instance, you have all these theories for quantum field theory. They have different B-ables, and they will lead to totally different prediction as far as relaxation to quantum equilibrium is concerned. Thank you.
Howard Wiseman. I'm wondering, did you have something in particular in mind with that very last point, which you have there about the choice of preferred B-able being important?
Is that mic on?
Yeah.
Did you hear the question?
Yes, yeah. I heard the question. Well, so you have at least, if you go to quantum field theory, you have at least three different choices. So you have the old possibility, which was the field as B-able approach. You have the Dirac-Xie ontology, and you also have the model by Shelley, Nino Zanghi, and Roderick Tumulka, and the Tefdure, in which you have particle expositions. So I think that all these three models will give rise to different predictions as far as relaxation to quantum equilibrium is concerned.
But you're not saying you have any particular intuition about which would be fast and which would be slow or anything like that?
For instance, so in the Dirac-Xie ontology, you have all these particles which are entangled. So I think that the fact that they are all entangled, this could play a significant role in relaxation, but this is just an intuition.
Further questions?
Normally, and with physical theories, you would think that if different theories imply different rates of relaxation, there'll be some empirical experimental differences which correspond to that. Do you want to comment on the situation here?
No, but like Anthony has different tests, which would lead to different predictions which are based, for instance, on the field ontology. So, for instance, if you work in the context of inflationary cosmology, and if this inflaton field starts in a state of quantum non-equilibrium, then it would be possible to observe this in the observation of the cosmic microwave background, because it's related to the vacuum fluctuation of this inflaton field. So I guess that if you take a different ontology than field, then so that's what I have in mind. Yeah.
Simulations don't have anything to do with cosmology. They're one particle in a simple situation.
Yes.
The naive thought that would occur to somebody is that if you have this very different kind of behavior with these different theories, you should be able to see these differences in behavior when you do experiments on a system.
Yeah, but all the simulations are for a non-relativistic case in which you have particles. So you don't illustrate the different world of the B-able.
I'm not talking about the issue of the B-able. That was only the last slide. I'm talking about, most of your talk was comparing relaxation to equilibrium for different models. And the normal thought somebody would have was, if I have these differences in the behavior according to these models of relaxation and equilibrium, there are going to be some empirical consequences.
Yeah, but that was the point. This was the point of the of the last remark.
The same vehicle in all of this.
No. E. Maybe word is an idea because I had that.
So, Anthony Valentini, I mean, I'd just like to add something there. I mean, I suppose the point here is that if we're talking about systems that we have in the lab, they will all have relaxed to equilibrium long ago.
Okay.
So there's nothing that we're not going to know whether they relaxed according to one guidance equation or another. On the other hand, if we somehow manage to find non-equilibrium systems, for example, there's a speculation that evaporating black holes might produce such particles. If they did, then you might be in a position to see how they relax and but another point, I mean, you're saying about cosmology. I mean, the limited studies that I've done of relaxation on expanding space has assumed that you have just the standard guidance equation, say for a scalar field. Mm-hmm. And one result is that during the inflationary phase, there's no relaxation at all. It might be that with a different guidance equation you would, in which case there would be consequences for cosmological scenarios. Another result I have is that on expanding space, the relaxation can be suppressed at very large wavelengths. And I'm hoping to build on that to get a cosmological prediction. That prediction, it is more work is needed, but that prediction would probably be different if you had different guidance equations. So, that's perhaps an answer to Shelley.
Okay, good. No, I know.
I had a question. So, if you had started not with a superposition of different eigenstates, but with a single eigenstate, then, so a stationary state, wave function, then in the usual guidance equation, the particle doesn't move at all, it just sits still.
No,
that always seemed peculiar to me. So I'm just wondering, in this case, what would you see? Periodic orbits, or do you see?
Well, we did simulation for eigenstate of energy, but the curl term alone. So if you don't have any curl term, the particle don't move. If you have the curl term, they move, but that's not enough in order to generate relaxation to quantum equilibrium. If it's an eigenstate, okay. Yeah, the wave function is weird, doesn't move.
Other questions? Okay, so let's, thanks. And so two announcements, one just a reminder.